You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle with Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. Hey, Common Fans, nothing goes better with football season than delicious Nebraska beef from Certified Piedmontese. Get 25% off all the beef your heart desires at cpbeef.com using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN. You can also stop by your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha to see all the cuts and options CP has to offer, as well as delicious ready-to-eat hot foods. Or get 25% off at cpbeef.com using promo code COMMONFAN and get Certified Piedmontese products shipped right to your front door anywhere across all 50 states. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan Podcast. Make sure to check out our brand new website, www.commonfan.co. We went to TS Web Services to build the site for us. Whether you need web development or hosting, they've got you covered. You can trust TS Web Services to take your online presence to the next level. Their team was very responsive and delivered high-quality work. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. It's another View from the Bland Stands with friend of the program, Evan Bland. But before we introduce Evan, we have to wish a very special and happy birthday to the one and only Geoff in Lincoln. Happy birthday, Geoff.
Thank you. I was going to wish all of you guys happy birthday and then Jedi mind trick you into wishing me a happy birthday. Have you ever seen that on The Office?
Yeah, from The Office.
Yeah.
Damn it.
Love that.
Well, thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
Yep, absolutely. And well, we're recording this on Tuesday night, so when you're listening, Common Fans, it won't be out till Wednesday. So whenever you're listening to this, it won't actually be Geoff's birthday. But
it won't. Yeah, it won't matter anymore.
Feel free to send in birthday greetings, commonfangbr@gmail.com. Evan, how are you this fine evening?
I'm doing well. If I knew there was a birthday today, I would have gone office style and put up the banner that just says it is your birthday.
Yes.
Yes. Absolutely. You know,
it really livens the mood, boosts the morale.
Yeah. The very low inflated gray and like brown balloons.
Yeah. Well, I guess there's only four of us, so if it's Geoff's birthday, then Matt, Evan, and I are the party planning committee.
Yep, absolutely. Yep. You are. Yep.
Yeah.
So that's right. It's a big budget affair. That's exactly right.
Well, Geoff, I know there's nothing you'd rather be doing than spending your birthday recording a podcast with us. So
yeah, we do what happy we do. Birthday. I said we had to make our own sacrifices. The mustache, shaving the mustache, recording on my birthday. This is all for you, Common Fans. This is all for you.
You're putting the whole mustache thing on everyone else. No one asked you to grow it out, and then no one asked you to shave it. So you're just kind of putting that on everyone else. But whatever makes you feel better.
Yeah, but then go ahead and take credit for things when nobody asked you to do it or anything.
You're welcome for that Colorado victory.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks again, Geoff. Well, anyway, Evan, the Huskers are 3-0. They beat Northern Iowa 34-3. Did we learn anything new from the win over Northern Iowa, or was that kind of a running in place type of game until we get to conference play?
I don't know that we learned anything new, like from a they can do this, they can't do this sort of perspective. But I think the thing that I'll remember about this game was like the tension that players had afterwards between this idea that like, hey, we didn't play up to our standard, but also we won 34-3 and we're undefeated. And like, you have to be happy with that result at the same time. So I thought it was a growth sort of game in that sense where, I mean, obviously you want the win. That's the result is the first thing you're going for, but it's, you know, they could simultaneously be happy about that, but also be like, we probably didn't tackle as well as we wanted to, or we probably didn't quite have the same juice that we did against Colorado. So I think it was a good sign. When you can beat a team going away in the second half's anticlimactic, but you still have like that internal motivation to do more. I thought that that was what I kind of took away from this thing. I don't know how much you take away or what we learned maybe about the defense. I think they did kind of what we thought. I would have been surprised if they gave up double digit points, and it was the field goal and the second team had the goal line stand there at the very end, which was a cool moment. So it'd probably be that. And then probably just also the trend that Nebraska's had in the second half of these comfortable drama-free victories where they're able to bring in the reserves, and like you can't undersell that. I don't think like that's an important thing for development and morale and everything. And so like just the ability to do that, to make it a business game and not like a high intensity finish. I think those are probably the things I took away.
I agree. I think the main takeaway I took from it, from like a fan standpoint, is the more things change from a fan standpoint, the more things stay the same. Where last year we would have killed to have that points, those points on the board at the end of the game. And yet common fans are still maybe not, I don't want to say upset, but like, oh, we could have done better. Or the game got boring. Like all of a sudden we're back to our old ways of, well, we can do better. Or that first
maybe,
half.
What if we're not as good as we thought?
Exactly. So I feel like, yeah, the time is a flat circle type thing where we're right. We're still the common fans. Some of us have not changed at all, and I'm guilty of it.
You know, that kind of creeps in. You know, it's like you expect to just absolutely throttle an FCS team, no matter how, where they're ranked or how they're expected to do in the FCS. And, I think some of that is mostly the first drive. You know, I didn't think, other than the first drive that Northern Iowa had, I really didn't think they had a heck of a lot cooking. And when they did, it was against backups in the second half. But, Evan, the rushing numbers that the defense gave up, I think was the big thing that most of us didn't really care for. And, didn't really pass the eye test against an FCS opponent. But, some of the defensive players have talked about wanting to bounce back this week with a better effort against Illinois. And, we've mentioned the standard and things like that. What do you make of that, Evan?
Yeah, I mean, I think there was an adjustment period for the defense a little bit from playing against spread offenses like UTEP, like Colorado, where you're getting after the quarterback every time, where they're doing a lot of dinking and dunking. And it's just a different challenge against a team like you and I, where they just smash at you. And we saw it on the first drive. I mean, they had a 10-minute drive to start the game. It took up most of the first quarter, and they did a really good job of playing keep away. And Nebraska obviously would prefer to stop that and get the three and out. But like, I think it was, and we talked about it last week, like that was going to be a good challenge for what's to come in the Big Ten. Illinois has an offense closer to Northern Iowa's than it does UTEP or Colorado. And so yeah. I think, and players talked about it today here on Tuesday, we're recording this. And, they I think they appreciated that challenge, that kind of physical mindset. And it's less about rushing the passer and more about covering your gaps and not blowing your assignments and just being a little, a little tougher mentally. And so I think they appreciated that transition week. It can't hurt when you're talking about playing Illinois, especially on a short week. And they were a little bit shorthanded. And I think that kind of was something that maybe we downplayed, and that's okay. But like they didn't have Jamari Butler, who was a starting defensive lineman. They didn't have Micaiah Bayer for the first half as he was serving that suspension for targeting. So, I think it was a defense that, didn't play up to its lofty expectations, but again, they give up 3 points at the end of the game. Like that's, you're going to take that. It's just a matter of maybe wrapping up a little bit more and doing what they did in those first two games.
Yeah. Well, and I wondered to myself too, had it gone a little bit differently and it was a little bit more dominating for the defense, I don't know if psychologically, mentally, that, it's just human nature. Maybe we're not, the Huskers aren't as locked in going into Illinois. I think the best case scenario is kind of like, yeah, well, there's a few things we need to fix. And so they're not riding high thinking they're, better than they are type of thing. But I guess we'll see on Friday night.
Did you and I mean, did that get you guys excited, especially coming off the Colorado game. Like I could feel it in the stadium. Like it just it and it couldn't keep that electricity and that intensity from that game. But like how do you guys approach watching a game like that? Do you do the same things? Is it a little bit less? What was the emotional level for you guys?
I will admit my viewing experience is a little bit different because usually I do it at home and we have our whole ritual. We do our whole thing. People come over, what have you. We were in a different environment. We were at my brother and sister-in-law's house, and it did feel a little bit more subdued. Like the Colorado game was just peak energy and ready to go. Let's bleeping do this. Let's win this game. Whereas now it's almost like that coming into that game, it was like, all right, we got the big intense game off of our back that we need to win, that you've even said is probably one of the most important games of the season. I was a little worried about how subdued we were just at my house. I'm like, please God, don't let the team feel like I feel like right now. Like, don't take your eyes off the prize. 1-0 this week. I didn't want it to be like Notre Dame with Northern Illinois and have it be a trap game where we're not paying attention to Northern Iowa and focusing on Big Ten play the week after that. So it felt a little bit different. I'm going to try my best going forward to not be like that. Every game I'm going to get up for and be as jacked as I can, but I'm going to blame it on being in a different environment at the time.
Well, I think, as we get into Big Ten play, it's going to be hard not to be, a little more excited, right? Like you're going into a game that you're supposed to win easily.
Yeah.
And so for me, there was definitely anxiety and nervousness still, just like any other game. But this time it's more of the PTSD from the last,
Yeah.
decade or so of, oh God. Recent Nebraska would totally do something like win a big game against Colorado and then struggle and potentially lose to an FCS team. Like that's the way I felt about it. So, seeing the offense come out and score on the first three drives was like, okay, like just chill out and calm down.
Yeah, for sure.
It's not the same as like a Colorado or even like an Illinois this week, but I'm never not excited to watch Nebraska football, right? And like you're constantly like, okay, 4 hours from kickoff, or I'm getting all my chores done so I can settle in and watch this game later, or different things like that. Even when, as has been the case in many recent seasons, even when we know bowl eligibility is out of reach later in the season, I'm still excited to watch the Huskers. So like it's never not, I'm never not excited. I'm never missing a game. But agreed, it's kind of like, okay, for North, you're just looking for different things for Northern Iowa. So like I'm looking for, to your point, Matt, I'm looking for them to take care of business. I'm looking for this not to be very interesting. I'm looking for them to dominate, that sort of thing. And I think that's why it's probably a small portion of fans that are vocal on social media, but I think that's why fans were a little bit angsty about the performance because the tackling wasn't great and it was a little bit of a sloppy, performance by the D and all of that. And I think you wanted to see, okay, it's an FCS school. We should be like suffocating these guys, basically.
When I say about environment too, I wanted to bring this up. Like, I was watching the game with people that I've never watched a Husker game with too. So in my mind, I'm like, are these people going to think I'm weird if I just drop a random F-bomb when something doesn't happen our way? Or if I start screaming into the pillow? Or if I chuck my hat against the wall or punch the couch? I felt like I had to restrain my true emotions during that entire game. So.
Well, then it was your brother, wasn't it, Jeff? He knows you.
No, his parents and my brother-in-law. All right. His
Or your
parents were there. Yeah.
brother-in-law.
It's just there's some people in that group that I've never sat down and watched a Husker game before. And I didn't know if they were going to think I was weird or how I reacted to certain
Hey,
things.
Jeff.
No, I'm sure they thought you were weird.
Well, they always do.
Oh
They
yeah.
do. Yeah.
Yeah. So you just be you, Jeff. Moving forward, if you're with watching another game with them, go ahead and throw the hat. Go ahead and punch the couch. That's Jeff being Jeff.
All right. So I'm going to apologize in advance to my family members listening right now on Ashley's side of the family. If there's a hole punched in your wall, Owens gave me the go ahead on that. If I chuck a beer at the TV, you're going to have to buy a new one. I'm
Well,
sorry. I'm
nobody
just
said to
being
do
myself.
that. Nobody said to do that.
Just blame the
So
kids.
I got to share a watch party story real quick.
Yep.
So in 2011, my wife and I had some friends over to watch the Nebraska Wisconsin game. That was their introduction to the Big Ten. And as you all know, it didn't go well. But it was like 8 or 10 people there, and they were kind of friends from different groups. And it's kind of what you guys are talking about, where I had a friend who's a really intense Husker fan, he just wears his emotions on his sleeve, and he's swearing and he's making a fool out of himself, and everyone else is kind of uncomfortable, and you know, like, well, what's this guy's deal? And the guy's wife stands up and she looks around and she says, "Hands off, ladies, he's mine." And it just totally diffused the situation. And we're like, oh, okay, you know, he's just gonna, that's how he is. And I always think of that as like the peak moment of like, dude who didn't read the room, and then was bailed out by his wife with a good one-liner, and then, you know, it went from there. It didn't turn for Nebraska, but it turned for the particular watch party. So I always
That's
think of that.
hilarious. That
That's
dude's wife
hysterical.
got it.
I had the police called on me during the 2015 Wisconsin game, but I'll tell that whole story some other time.
Oh, what a
I'll save
tease.
it. Cliffhanger. Good Lord.
We'll save that one for the Wisconsin preview.
We'll save that one for the Wisconsin. I was totally innocent. I didn't do anything,
Please come
but
off me.
a likely story.
Oh my
Yeah.
God.
I'm here now, aren't I, Jeff?
Yes, you are. I didn't know you were a convicted felon, but you're here
I'm
now.
not. I'm not. Wasn't even
Big
charged. I
big misunderstanding.
wasn't
Oh my
even
God, that's
charged.
good. Evan, there was something that jumped out to me, and I really wanted to pick your brain about this because I've said something similar, not in regards to exactly what Brett Bielema said, but he did have a comment. I don't have the exact quote, but he did allude to the two professions that never have to be right are weathermen and sports writers. And I've always made the joke of like the weathermen have the easiest job in the world. They can be wrong whenever they want to. They never get fired. They always get paid. Blah 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 blah. If you've ever watched Curb Your Enthusiasm, there's a whole episode just about the weatherman purposefully predicting weather in their favor so they can use the golf course and nobody else will show up if they predict bad weather. It's either here nor there. Were
Wow.
you actually offended by that? Like, as a sports writer, were you offended by that comment? Because I don't think sports writers fall underneath that weatherman category, in my personal opinion.
I thought it was funny when I thought that was a nice little one-liner from Brett Bielema. I am guessing that's not the first time he's dropped that. I think he kind of slips that in there every now and again, probably from his own personal experience dealing with sports writers. But you know, I think weather people are on their own level. I always said, if you're the weather person in San Diego, you know, it's nice, and you, I mean, that's all you got to do, right? Like that's your day. You know, sports writing, I suppose it depends. Like if you're a columnist and you have an opinion and the opinion turns out to be poor, that's one thing. But if you're, it's a different thing if you're misreporting stuff and things are factually incorrect or whatever. So I imagine he's talking more about the opinion side of things. Man, you know, we do projections, and I have been part of the preseason Big Ten poll that, you know, it kind of takes the temperature of where the media thinks teams are going to fall in the Big Ten. And sometimes we're right, and man, sometimes we're way off. And in the transfer portal era, like even more so. Like, who would have thought a month ago that Nebraska Illinois would be a ranked game? Who would have
Yeah,
thought
right.
that Indiana would be, you know, a pretty darn tough contest next month? Like, you know, these things happen, and we don't always have the same information the coaches do. So I respect the humor, but I also would, you know, maybe push back a little bit on lumping sports writers in there with weather people.
Well, I got a question for you about. I want to jump ahead to looking at Illinois, Evan, but that reminded me about. I loved your. I feel like we should make this a weekly thing. Loved your story about what Chattel said in the press box last week. So, do you have any press box stories for us from the Northern Iowa game? Or and it could, you know, it could be an Omaha World Herald guy. Could be somebody else. Could be the Valentino's Pizza. Whatever. Anything interesting or funny in the view from the press box this week?
I mean, we had like roast beef and mashed potatoes in the press
Oh,
box, which was a pretty strong effort
you don't say.
nice.
from them. So, you know, that was cool. You know, I don't know, nothing too crazy. Like, the game was decided at halftime. There wasn't a ton of really almost any visiting media from Northern Iowa. I think sometimes that's half the fun, is seeing who shows up from the visiting team or the other team, and just kind of interact with those guys. But you know, I think we had it kind of figured out at halftime what the what the outcome was going to be. I thought this isn't really the answer to what you're saying, but I thought it was interesting that Northern Iowa's AD was a Nebraska grad and
Yeah.
Nebraska's AD was a Northern Iowa grad. That was fascinating to me. And
Yeah.
as a Lincoln Southeast alum, it was cool to see that Northern Iowa's AD Megan Franklin was also a Southeast alum. So, small world kind of thing. I think those sorts of coincidences are more interesting on weeks like Northern Iowa, where sometimes the game itself isn't all that compelling, but like it's the other stuff, the kind of the crossing of paths and careers and all that sort of thing, to me is kind of interesting.
So you're
Most.
saying like the team on the field, the Nebraska press corps had a workmanlike performance. They just put their heads down, got the job done. Nothing too remarkable. Ate some roast beef, nothing too remarkable.
I was gonna say, that's a heavy meal for a football game. Roast beef and mashed potatoes. Did you grab like a nice like quilt after that and curl up and take a nap?
Everyone's just
Good
a little bit
Lord.
late to the press conference afterward.
I mean, those are late nights. Nobody cares, but like, we get out of there between 11 and midnight, and so the next morning comes pretty quick. So I'm kind of in the Matt Rule camp of I do the kegs and eggs
Yeah.
and beer and do that thing if it were an option. But we got one more night game. This one's even later than the last two, 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Central instead of 6:30. So we make the best of it. But that 11 a.m. at Purdue in a couple weeks, I think that's going to hit real
Yeah.
sweet after some of these under the lights contests.
That's a
No
good point.
kidding.
Like waiting all day for a game. I mean, man, this has been it's been kind of rough, to be quite honest. I don't know about you guys, but frothing at the mouth all day for 3 weeks straight has been kind of a tough one.
Yeah, it'll be a little bit different this week with it being on Friday. At
Yeah,
least,
right.
most of us will at least work a little bit on Friday, so that'll make some of the time pass by. But yeah, it'll be interesting.
So, Evan, looking ahead to Illinois, both teams are in the top 25, first ranked on ranked game in Memorial Stadium in about a decade. I've heard 2013 UCLA, I've heard 2014 Minnesota, where both teams were ranked. I think somebody said Minnesota was only ranked in one poll in 2014 or something. So I don't know if that's up for debate or which one it is, but it's about a decade. This might be the first time since Nebraska joined the Big Ten that, and playing Illinois in particular, that both of those teams are ranked when playing each other, because neither of them has been ranked very often in the last 10 plus years. What did you hear from Coach Rule and the players in the last day or so as they prepare to begin conference play?
Well, I thought what Matt Rhule said Monday, the thing that stood out to me was he said, they're 3-0, and now the preseason, in a sense, is over, and the real season is here. And that's not to downplay the first three opponents, but it is sort of an NFL style look at things where you have those games to kind of iron out some kinks, see who your dudes are, who performs well in a game, who doesn't, settle some nerves, and now you're ready to go. And so I think they understand that there's a little bit of heightened stakes now starting this week, and they're not shy about saying, yeah, we want to compete to win the Big Ten. Like, that's why we're here. And so it starts at home, and you're a 10-point favorite against another ranked team. And so they're just hyper focused on the football. Like, the other stuff, it really doesn't matter to them. And so it's interesting because if you talk football to Matt Rhule or the players, they'll give you some pretty thoughtful, good answers. But if you ask them stuff about like external things, like the sellout streak or the ranked stuff, like they haven't spent any time thinking about it. And so they're like, it's fine, but like, we just want to play well. So I think they're in a good headspace there. Like, you think about, and it hasn't happened lately, but like when Nebraska's been ranked, it doesn't feel like they're always able to handle success very well. And I just it seems like they're in a better spot there, to where like they acknowledge what's going on, but it's not consuming their thoughts. It's not taking up any of their bandwidth. Like, they're still focused on getting better. And I think the line that Matt Rhule said about, hey, we're making that transition from being the hunter to being the hunted. Now we're the ones that other people are looking at and preparing for, because we have a number next to us and we're playing better and all the rest. It's like, I think that's something else you're seeing in real time, and we'll continue to see if as long as Nebraska has a number next to its name. So it's, I think there's just kind of an acknowledgement that like they're playing well. Yeah, some of the circumstances are changing, but now these games really count toward the goals that they're working toward.
Well, that's, Evan, that was kind of good that you said that too about being the hunted, because I went on a podcast for a couple of an Illinois podcast to preview the game, and one of the guys was going to be here in Lincoln tailgating. And I'll be honest, going on there was kind of weird because in years past, people kind of look over Nebraska and check us off their list as a guaranteed W. But I got the feeling with these folks, I mean, they even predicted scores of us winning. So I feel like people are, I don't want to say afraid, but we're on people's radar a little bit more. So I agree with you there. And then one thing they talked about was when you think of like, Brett Burt, when you think of him, rugged man, run first team, it's tough at the line of scrimmage. But having said that, this year it seems like with their quarterback, Luke Altmyer, he's having a great season. And the strength for Illinois, it seems like at least, is more of passing than running the ball, so to speak, and their pass defense. Have the Husker coaches hinted at how they will attack the Illini in this regard?
Well, Tony White, the defensive coordinator, was really complimentary today about Illinois' defense, especially their linebacker group. I mean, kind of across the board, those a group of like fourth, fifth, sixth year guys. And so, I should say Marcus Satterfield said that about attacking the Illinois defense. But it's one of those defenses that like you can't kind of mess around with or assume that once they're showing you a look, that's the look they're going to stay in. They do a good job of changing up their looks and their coverages late in the snap or in the pre-snap. And so, we'll see how that translates to Nebraska. I'm still not convinced that Illinois played a good team yet. I think at the time, the Kansas win seemed to be pretty impressive, but that's less so 2 weeks later than it was. So, like, quite honestly, if I had a vote, I would put Indiana in the top 25 over Illinois, just based on what they've shown to this point. So, but Illinois is it's a veteran group. It's a group that even when they have not been very good, they've been physical. Like when Nebraska's played that team over the years, they felt it for like the next week or two. And so, in that sense, that's something else Matt Rhule said was like, in a lot of ways, Illinois is sort of a mirror image of Nebraska in terms of physicality, what the defense brings, some of the skill position players. The difference really is the quarterback position and what Dylan Raiola is and the upside that he has and the deep ball that he's able to throw and that sort of thing. I think Illinois probably has the better special teams at this point. They had a kicker that hit a 59-yard field goal
Yeah,
at the end of the first half
59-yarder.
last week. So,
Was he a
that's a
backup, by the
dude.
way?
What's that?
I think he was a backup, wasn't he? He was a backup kicker that hit a
He was like a
59-yarder.
co-starter for him, but he's got the
Wow.
big legs. So, watch out for that too. But it's a veteran group. And I think the other thing you have to look at with Illinois too is they've been able to generate takeaways. They're plus eight on the turnover margin. That's top five nationally. And so that can make up for a lot of deficiencies or struggles elsewhere. So I think that's the other thing. Nebraska's done such a good job on the turnover margin early this season. It would behoove them to keep up with that. Otherwise, things can obviously turn.
Yeah.
Evan, will you get a vote in the AP poll at some point? How does that work?
There are like a couple in the state, and they
Okay.
kind of move around. It's not. I mean, it's work. Like it's you got to watch the late games, and you got to file your stuff by like early Sunday morning.
Yeah.
So in a lot of ways, it's harder as a beat writer to be an AP voter because you're not able to watch all the like it, a fan in some ways is better equipped to be an AP voter than a beat writer just because they can watch all the games.
Right,
You can watch all three games. You don't have to worry about doing interviews and writing. Like you can observe and see what you see and all the rest. So I respect the people that do it. It's a ton of work. I'm not sure that I'd want to do it quite honestly, but it's fun to complain and say that I'd do it differently.
who are Nebraska's right now? Voters.
Amy Just from
Amy, okay.
the Lincoln Journal Star, and Maybe Eric Olson of the AP. That's possible.
Oh, sure.
I'm not 100% sure on that. It might be Kevin Suits from the TV side too. So yeah, it's the two in the state, and it's kind of changed a little bit over the years. But yeah, it's some work.
Yeah.
Wow.
I believe it. And as part of the fan podcast network that we're in, the College Huddle, there's a top 25 each week that, we have to contribute our rankings, and there's a Big Ten power rankings. I mean, beyond, like, at least for the Big Ten part, once you get to, like, now there's so many teams in the conference. Once you get to like seven or eight, it's like, I don't even care anymore. Just throw whoever. Like, Indiana had them like 15th last week. They killed UCLA. Let's put them at 11th. Like, it's so hard. So I get that. I wouldn't envy anyone having to like take that even more seriously. And God forbid you leave somebody out, then you're getting singled out on Twitter or something. Like, look at this jackass. He ranked Nebraska 9th or something, or put somebody in the top 15 that other people don't have the top 25 or whatever. So, Evan, we've got this fresh new Big Ten. Pour out a drink, or put on the Sarah McLachlan arms of an angel for the Big Ten West. But if the Big Ten West still existed, I know Nebraska and Illinois are the two only two ranked from the former Big Ten West right now. But would you say throw the rankings out the window, just with the eye test and smell test and what have you? Would you say that Nebraska and Illinois right now would be the favorites if there was still a Big Ten West?
I'd put Iowa in that conversation too. Even though they lost to Iowa State, I think they may have still the best defense, or right even with Nebraska with the best defense. But other than that, yeah, I mean, Wisconsin, you lose your quarterback for the year to injury. Purdue lays a massive egg against Notre Dame. Shout out.
Thank you. Thank you.
It's Northwestern is, playing in a 15,000 seat stadium on the lake. What's happening over there? Kind of on and on. Yeah, I mean, I think so. It's kind of there's a painful irony in there in that Nebraska's path to the Big Ten championship game for years in the East-West format was right there for the taking. I mean, Northwestern won multiple divisions. Purdue, Iowa, for all of its flaws, makes an appearance in those title games, and Nebraska never did. Of course, the year now that it goes away, all those other teams seem fallible, and there's Nebraska,
What
looking
do you know,
good.
right?
So, it's probably unfortunate in that sense because that path was right there to sit, you're 60 minutes away from being a Big Ten champ if you have a good game against Ohio State or Michigan. And so that's all changed. But yeah, it's you can take the team out of the Big Ten West, but you can't take the Big Ten West out of the team. And so I
Well
think you
put.
still see a lot of that going on, a lot of low scoring rock fights and punt fests and all the rest. But yes, if we are placing odds on the mythical Big Ten West at this point, yeah, I think Nebraska is probably a favorite, co-favorite at worst.
Yeah. Yes. This is probably like everything you have said has suggested that this team is very process oriented, very focused on the task at hand. Let's go 1-0 this week. So this is probably more of like a fan conversation, or it could be a media conversation. But one thing, I mean, we've talked about how it's so much more enjoyable to watch your favorite team when they're good, and to watch college football when your favorite team is good. It's, oh, this team lost, we're going to jump in the ratings again, or whatever, right? But does it also like does being 3-0 sort of raise the stakes for the Huskers as they head into Big Ten play, or like does every week that they win, like are we? I feel like I'm going to be holding my breath every week. Like we're still in the conversation for the Big Ten. We're still in the national conversation. Like if we beat Illinois, then it's going to be like we could be, we're 4-0 and we're heading into Purdue, who's not very good. It's like the excitement just starts building and building. But did the stakes sort of like start building as well?
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, the more you win, the more excitement there is externally. I still think there's stuff like every week there's things to learn. Like this week, how does Nebraska handle being ranked, playing a ranked team? I mean, they've lost 23 in a row to top 25 opponents going back to 2016 Oregon. That's the last time they beat a top 25 team. So like there's meaning in beating Illinois this weekend in that sense. Purdue the week after that, like the other, if Nebraska truly is on the rise, then the next question for me is this a team from, say, the Bo Pelini era that's due to drop a random game every year, the way that they always did against a team that they shouldn't? Or has Nebraska sort of ascended that next half step to where it's the team that takes care of those games, kind of like the early 2000s, and then it's the big games against the big guys that sort of come down to it. Like Purdue's a team 10 years ago that Nebraska would just kind of randomly lose to on a Saturday because they weren't up for it or because things happened. And so, like, be curious what that's like. I think UCLA probably will fall into that category as well, just the way that the way that things are trending for that team. Can they beat Wisconsin and end that streak and kind of get that monkey off their back? So, like, yes, there's like this accumulation of things, but I think also, like, week to week, there are certain, mental hurdles maybe that the team, that the fan base can kind of shed to say, like, it's not predestined to be this way. Things can turn around. Fate's not just kind of against you in everything. So we'll see. Like, I think that's kind of what I'm looking at as much as anything is, like, Matt Rhule's talked about the transition from losing football to winning football to championship football. And they're squarely in the middle right now where they're winning games, they're learning how to be better. And I think kind of these little benchmarks along the way are things that you can mark as they're trying to get back to, where fans would like them to be.
I totally agree that this, I think the stakes are higher, Teej, don't you? Like, my view of
Yeah,
it is
but yeah,
like,
I guess, I mean, that as a fan, every week that goes by, it's like you're getting more and more excited, and it feels like more is at stake. Yes, but I
yeah.
guess part of what I was getting at was, like, do the players think about it like that? I'm guessing, I don't think the coaches want them to, but I get, I wonder if it's hard not to think about,
Yeah.
like, we're playing for something, like, and every week that you win, it gets bigger, the stakes get bigger and higher,
I'm viewing it from
Yeah.
like a fan perspective that like it's like when because if we're 3-0 and we haven't lost a game, like you're not automatically as a Husker fan, like Owens has said, you're gonna have PTSD and you're not gonna really think it's a realistic possibility that, hey, we could make the playoff, we could make a big run here, but we haven't lost a game yet. So that what if, like in the
Exactly.
back of your mind, you're saying maybe we could. There, you always have that. It's like when you have a lottery ticket and you don't want to check the numbers because if you don't check the numbers, there's a chance you could still
Yeah.
be a
You haven't
billionaire. You know
lost
what I mean?
yet. You haven't
Yeah.
lost yet.
I would say, like, there are a couple of player comments that kind of stuck with me this week. One was from Henrik Harburg after the game Saturday. He said something to the effect of, in previous years, they'd get into certain games and they'd be like, oh, let's not screw up. And he's like,
Yeesh.
now we want to put our foot on their throat and, like, finish it. Like, that's from a guy who's been through a lot of losing at Nebraska the last couple of years. I thought that was notable. And the other one was from Ja'Cory Barney, who I thought what he said really kind of captured their mentality right now. He said on that play that he took the pitch and scored on from 10 yards out, he's like, I really have to credit all the guys for blocking and paving the way for me. And then he's like, but I think I would have made them all miss anyway. Like, made all the defenders
I
miss anyway. And
love
like,
that
and I'm
dude.
like,
I love that dude.
what a perfect, like, balance between acknowledging the team, but also having that self-confidence that, like, yeah, I'm gonna make the play because I'm talented and
Yeah.
that's what I do.
He's a
Last time we
favorite
had
of the
that.
of the he's a
Yeah.
favorite of the program.
He is
He's great.
electric.
He's
For
electric.
sure. Hey, can I ask you
Tough.
guys about the 400th sellout? I think, I mean, how appropriate. As common fans who have been uncommonly loyal to a program since 1962, 400 sellouts. I was doing some research today. Anyone want to take a guess at what the second longest sellout streak is in college football?
Oh, geez. I've is
I
it
bet it's a
even at 200?
fraction of that. It is not. It is at
Yeah.
159.
Let's see.
Notre Dame.
It was until a few years ago. Theirs
Damn.
ended about 5 years ago. Yeah.
Alabama?
Theirs ended about 10 years ago. They were
Okay.
up there.
Gosh, who would it be? Oregon.
It's
They
not
had
Oregon.
one, but it also
I was
ended.
thinking somebody like I was thinking like
Florida State. It's
somebody
a
that's
team
gonna
very familiar to Nebraska
Miami.
historically. It was Oklahoma.
Oh,
Oklahoma
damn. Okay.
156.
Yeah. Wow.
What's theirs at right now?
155 games and counting. So they'll hit
Oof, I
150,
mean, that's nothing
16
to,
next
that's
time.
pretty good. That's pretty good.
So like,
Good
so like
average.
what I'm curious, like you, for you guys, where do your experiences and lives intersect with the sellout streak? Like what, how have you lived it? How have you sort of felt it as fans?
Owens,
Ooh.
you've got some thoughts on that. You go to all the games, dude.
Well, most of them. Yeah. I mean,
Yeah.
at least probably at least 5 a year for the last, oh, 7 or 8 years. I first got my season tickets the, I think it was the first year of Mike Riley. Which, you know, as for me as a kid, you know, I sold pizza at the games in 94 and 95. Like what a, like you
That's
couldn't have
awesome.
picked a better couple of years to be a hawker at Memorial Stadium.
Right.
And I remember when I was a kid, around the same age, asking my dad, like, why don't we have, you know, why don't we have season tickets? And you're not even, you know, a kid doesn't think about, oh, it costs a lot of money and all that stuff. But there was a waiting list forever. Like you had to get on a waiting list, and then it, you know, you might be lucky that, God forbid, somebody died or something, and then the tickets come available. Or, you know,
Yeah.
it didn't happen that often. For me, as far as my personal thoughts about the sellout streak, and our buddy Dave Fite again had an article about it today that I read, and it's like, you know, I kind of tend to agree with him. It's like you can acknowledge that technically, yes, it is a sellout streak. All the tickets were purchased, but then you can also look and say, well, hey, how many games did an anonymous donor or somebody had to chip in and do the whole red carpet experience and all that too? So is it really? And the stadium is not really full, but you know, all the tickets have been sold for 400 straight games. I mean, that's impressive in itself.
Yeah.
You know,
Wow.
but you know, then you're in the stadium and you see like these little pockets of, and it's usually the student section where you see it the most towards the top, especially when we're in, you know, having a down year or something like that. But I think it's still special, and it's one of the few records that Nebraska football has left. And so, you know, I think it's neat. I think they should celebrate it as long as it's still going. So, you know, it's fine. I'm not somebody that says, oh, they have to do whatever they can to keep it going. And the whole red carpet experience thing, I think is great because you're getting kids there that maybe wouldn't, you know, normally get a chance to go to a game. So
Yeah,
yeah, I mean,
I would
it's a
say
long
I
rambling
so
answer, but
yeah, I was at the 200th consecutive sellout in '94 against Colorado, I believe it was, and that was a great game. That was like what Cordell Stewart and that whole crew,
yeah,
and
Michael
that was a big
Westbrook,
like they, that was a
Salon.
big game,
Yeah.
and I think we won 24-7 or something like that,
Yeah, sounds right.
but I would like you, Matty. I sold concessions for several years, and so I started with. Yeah, sort of with peanuts, and then I did popcorn, hot dogs, pizza. I did everything over the years. Pop.
I
Anyway,
remember you
neither here nor
guys.
there.
I just remember you and Matteo always did that. Like
Yeah.
sold. I remember hearing about that, and I thought that was so foreign to like
What
me and
working,
like
Jeff?
from where I
Working?
came from. Like what? It seems like child labor to me, to be honest. But anyways, no, go ahead. I just thought that was cool that you guys always got to do that. I never got to do that. That
Yeah,
was
no,
just
it
a
was
perk
cool. It was a nice
of
little extra
me.
pocket change, and you could get into the games and all that. That was pretty cool. But to your question, Evan, I think it was so just something that it was just sort of part of the experience when we were kids. Like it was just one more thing. But when we were kids, like to your point, Matt, about all the streaks, there was all kinds of stuff. There was the bowl streak. There was the, you know, I mean, there were.
Yeah.
So I would have chosen, like, if I had to choose, like, in terms of how important I feel it is as a fan, I would have chosen to keep many of the others over the sellout streak because it would have meant we were
Right.
winning a lot more, right? And
Yeah.
so it was the nine, oh, the nine
Yeah.
win seasons, the bowl games, like all these things that have fallen as the program has kind of fallen over the last 25 years until now, or 25 years. But I find myself thinking, having said all that, I find myself thinking now that it's at 400, I kind of do think that you do everything within reason at least to keep it going. Because at this point,
Yeah.
we're lapping the nation. To your point, Evan, nobody else is even at 200. And okay, Matteo, I think that it's like the spirit of the rules kind of thing. You're right. Like sometimes it's a corporation purchasing the last 2,000 tickets or 5,000 tickets in some of these lean years. But guess what? we had seven consecutive losing seasons, and but it's not half full. We're still filling up that stadium,
Yeah.
right? And that's something that recruits can point to. They know it's a big thing for Nebraskans. They know it's part of the experience that that stadium's going to be full. And sometimes when it's been bad, people are gone by halftime, but by and large, we're still filling up that stadium even when we're bad. So now that, I think we all think that they're going to be back and at least back to relevance, I don't think it'll be hard to fill it up. But I think now there won't be sort of any sort of pressure on it again as long as Matt Rhule's here. But
Yeah.
if it got lean again, if it got rough again, if things got really, really, really bad and you had 20,000 tickets, then I don't think, you don't ask a donor to buy 20,000 tickets. But if it's the
Right.
last few thousand tickets and it's a bad year and you hope things will get better, I don't know. I think it's one of those things you preserve because
Yeah. Yeah.
it is a testament to who we are as fans, even if there's not a butt in every single seat,
Right. And even in
Yeah.
some of those really dark days, I mean, you're still talking about 75 to 80,000 people showing up to watch a losing
Right.
football team. Like
Right.
there's, yeah, I
Yeah.
mean, there's still something to be said for that. So that's always the thing. It's like, yeah, all the tickets are sold, but the stadium is not full. It's like people still bought them. Like
Yeah. Right.
university still,
Speaking.
they university didn't turn down the revenue for the people that didn't show up for the game, right? Like it's just like they still took their money.
Yeah. And you know what? Let's face it, several of them are in the parking lot just having a beer and having too much fun. And they decided not
Sure.
to come in because we're not playing for anything, but they're there.
And speaking of bottom, Owens, I'm glad you said that. And Evan, you know this. I grew up in a Notre Dame household. And so my whole life, my parents never had season tickets to a Husker game, nor remotely even had any interest of attending a Husker game. It wasn't until I met up with these Yahoos that I would get offered a ticket to go to a game. And I think back then when I got offered a ticket, I legit took it for granted. I was like, all right, I'm gonna go see the Nebraska Cornhuskers play football. Hooray. I didn't quite understand the tradition, the sellout streak, all of those things, and I kind of took it for granted. And over time, as time's gone on, I grew to appreciate when one of my friends would say, "Do you want to go to a Husker game?" Because it became like a really cool thing that I got to be a part of. And for the longest time, I feel like I just didn't really appreciate what I was actually getting into. And there's a lot of people that don't get to go to these games, and would love to. So it's always just been awesome. It's meant a lot to me that I've been fortunate enough to be put in a position not having those tickets at my disposal at all and still being able to attend a game from time to time. So it's been pretty awesome. I love it.
How about this for symmetry? You talk about time as a flat circle. In 1962, Nebraska starts off 6-0 with a first-year head coach named Bob Devaney, and that generates enough interest for that first sellout. They lose a home game to Missouri. And now here we are, all this time later, and Nebraska's undefeated, coming off a bunch of losing seasons with a new head coach. And that excitement's kind of coming back, and the
Yeah.
demand and people wanting to come back. And we've seen it in especially I think the last few couple weeks where like the stadium is full. Like if you
Yeah.
when you get those scanned ticket numbers, like it's pretty close to what it is. So there've been a lot of lean years, and you can talk about kind of the fancy number fudging and moving around to keep that sellout streak going. But I think there's a certain sort of symmetry to this idea that at number 400, man, it looks a lot like number one. And that's a byproduct of winning. That's a byproduct of joy, of people that want to go and
Yeah.
spend their Saturdays. It's not the obligatory person who feels like they have to go to church on Sunday because that's what you do. It's not something that you're doing out of duty. It's like it's fun again. And so I think that's the other really cool thing about the 400th sellout. Is like it's not just something that people kind of acknowledge solemnly because yes, we endured. It's something that man can be a celebration. So I'll be really interested to see what Nebraska does just in terms of the celebration, how they acknowledge it, what the game atmosphere is going to be like in that way.
That's pretty cool, for
That's an
sure.
interesting point, Evan. I might get myself in trouble here with
Oh.
all the fellow Common fans. I think
Oh.
Matt Rhule is the most like Bob Devaney as like if you compare him to any other Husker coaches, like he's the most like Bob Devaney in terms of like Devaney had the charisma. He seemed to actually enjoy the job. He enjoyed sort of the external facing part of the job. Obviously, it's a totally different universe in 2024, but Matt Rhule embrace you, Evan, you've talked about this the first time you were on with us. Matt Rhule embraces the everything about the community of Lincoln, everything about the state of Nebraska, everything about the external facing part of it. And then two, arguably, no one like the situations those two encountered were the most similar. Where they were having to build something from the very bottom. Like Frost, you could say we had had 2 out of 3 year losing seasons with Riley. It was rough, but it wasn't the same. Like Devaney was really having to build something, from the beginning, from the bottom, so to speak. And so is Rhule. And then, the last part of it will be when it comes to the results, which I won't put anything on Rhule yet. But it feels like he, like Bob Devaney, is a builder, right? He is someone who enjoys that part of it and enjoys the development piece of it and building a winner. And so hopefully that's what he's doing. But anyway, there's just there interestingly, Evan, to sort of further to your point, it feels like those are the like there's a ton of similarities between Devaney and Matt Rhule, which then would mean we are at the beginning of another 40-year run of dominance.
Boom.
The natural conclusion.
The only question
Absolutely.
was probably Garrett McGuire is probably your TO in this situation. Not to put that on him, but that's 10 to it's he doesn't have to take on that responsibility for 10 or 15 years. But at that point, then he's your TO. And and then we win a bunch more national championships. So I think this
And
makes a lot of sense.
TO coached receivers too, didn't
He did
he?
coach
Really, as an
receivers.
assistant? Yeah. Look
Exactly.
at us putting the pieces of this puzzle
Wow.
together. It's all figured out.
And
Balance.
Garrett's probably listening. They are all
Yeah,
listening
they're
all
all
the time.
listening, sure.
So now we're not putting too much pressure on you, Garrett,
No. That's right.
Now balance to the force.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, any final thoughts, guys? Any final questions for Evan?
I have one because I had when I was on the Illinois podcast last night, they had a question for me that I didn't really have an answer for, and I wanted Evan to kind of give me some clarification here. They praised Dante Dowdell, tough runner, badass, stud, dude, whatever word you want to call him. But the one thing that they were curious about was he's splitting time with other running backs right now. Do you think we're going to continue to see four different running backs getting playing time, or is that going to start to narrow as the season goes on? I didn't have an answer for that. I wasn't really sure, so I was kind of curious to see what you thought about that.
Well, I mean, it's always possible, of course, injuries inform that discussion as they did last year. So, I mean, that's kind of the first thing. It happens at that position. Nebraska's got 9 Big Ten games ahead of it. So, odds are you're probably going to need that depth. But it did seem like the last week or maybe 6 quarters, Nebraska's kind of settled on Dowdell and Ramir Johnson as sort of that lightning and thunder. They really like Dowdell on third and short. They like Ramir for his speed and pass catching ability. They feel like both of those guys have earned time as reliable pass blockers too. So I think those are kind of your co-ones, and that's been reflected in the depth chart. But they, Matt Rhule and everyone also go out of their way to say Gabe Irvin's been a starter here before, and he runs hard, and his time is still going to be there. And Emmett Johnson also has been a starter before, and he might be right now the most electric of any of them. I thought some of the runs he had late against Northern Iowa especially were impressive, and Matt Rhule called him his closer as that guy who can maybe get some chunk yardage down the stretch. So I would say of all the position groups that we sort of projected going into the year, that's the one to me that's changed the most through three games. I think it's the one where before the season the sentiment, and I would put myself in this camp, was there hasn't been a number one that's emerged, and so if you have four, you don't really have one. And I think what's happened is they've shown that they actually do have some depth, and it's because of these different skill sets, and all these guys now have experience. Like we mentioned, Ramir and Emmett and Gabe Irvin have all been starters, and Dowdell was a 4-star recruit who got time at Oregon. So like these aren't guys who are trying to do something for the first time necessarily either. So I think what's maybe been sort of a viewed as a weakness before is a strength, and the fact that maybe you don't know who's going to take a carry from play to play actually could end up being a strength or an asset for Nebraska.
Love that.
Yeah, that's awesome. It was so Matty O pointed this out against Northern Iowa. No one had more than six carries, which is just insane.
What you
But
want.
yeah, exactly. If they're getting the necessary production out of, this mix of guys, everybody's staying fresh. Let's roll with it.
Gonna pay
Let's,
off, man. It's gonna pay
yeah.
off. It's a long season.
Well, it's like when you run a mile. I don't know if you guys run at all, but it's like when you run a mile
Jeff doesn't.
in that first
What are you talking about? I ran a 7-minute mile in high school. It was awesome.
that's
I'm trying to get
25
behind
years
that
ago,
line.
Jeff.
In the 90s, Jeff? What?
So four laps on a track is a mile, right?
It was fantastic.
Nebraska is a full lap in the regular season. They've taken that first lap around the track, and everyone else, all the other teams are kind of hanging in there. What Nebraska's counting on is that load management paying off on that third and
Yes.
fourth lap. So when you get into
Yeah.
November and your running backs or whatever position have 150 fewer snaps on their bodies, like that's when that pays off. And so they're not blowing got teams out right now, but everyone's getting snaps. They're sharing the load. And so, yeah, I think when that weather cools off and the games heat up, like I think that's what Nebraska's counting on, is that when you spread that out now, it's going to pay off later on. So we'll see if it does, but that's the strategy.
Yeah,
Yeah.
absolutely love it. I don't want November to get here quickly, but I'm excited to see that.
As a 7-minute mile runner, I agree with that sentiment. I know exactly what these runners are going through, and it's grueling. So no, just my two cents.
The 7-minute mile was before the smoking habit.
Jeff, if your sister was timing, it doesn't count. Was that in is that in Coach Allward's PE class at Pius?
It
Or
was on Aldridge Field. Thank you very much.
oh wow, on the
Yeah.
track?
Oh yeah, absolutely it was.
Yeah.
You're not going to take this away from me.
I don't I
You're not
just
going to take this away from
I
me.
do not believe it, to be honest with you. I just don't believe it at all.
We're gonna go check the
All
record books at Lincoln
right.
Pius the 10th.
Any final thoughts or questions for Evan guys or Evan, anything for us?
What,
All
where's
set.
everyone watching this weekend? Friday night, kind of a weird circumstance.
I'm going.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
I'm gonna go
would.
to it. Yeah.
We're doing our usual thing, right? I'm not going to break precedent. So big game like this, people are coming to our house. So we're hanging out in the living room here.
Nice. Yeah, I'll just be watching at home. But I am excited. Like I feel like Friday will go by a little quicker because it's a work day. And
Yep.
then as you
5 p.m. out
got
there for you.
common fans know, I live in Oregon, so it'll be 5 p.m. kickoff. So like,
Ooh.
by like the late afternoon, I'll be like almost kickoff. So maybe I'll knock off an hour or two early and start getting some treats ready or
Yeah.
something. I feel like
I gotta think, don't you think a lot of private businesses around Lincoln are probably gonna
yeah.
lock up the doors a
Non-essential,
little early on Friday?
non-essential workers are gonna head home for
Yeah.
the day. Yeah. Probably right. It's like
They
a holiday.
should.
Yeah.
They should embrace
Yeah.
it. Hey,
Well,
I see
didn't
they moved all the high school football games to Thursday.
the
I
Yep, makes
saw
sense. Some are playing on the
at least in
road though, I
Lincoln.
think. Yeah.
Yeah, so at least the ones in Lincoln.
Evan, didn't UNL cancel classes or just like I thought somebody had said that UNL doesn't have class on Friday, or maybe they're finishing early or something.
They might be wrapping up around noon. I'm not exactly sure, but the
Yeah.
parking will be an issue because if
That's
you're
what it
paying,
was. They're
it's like,
worried about the
yeah,
tailgate lots.
if you're a student and you're paying for your spots, but you have tailgates, like they've never done this on a Friday at
Yeah,
home.
that's going to be
Yeah.
issue. Yeah, for
Yeah.
sure.
There's
And
some
people are being
logistical stuff.
oh yeah.
One more
Listen,
trivia
take yeah,
thing.
common fans, take the afternoon off, common
Yeah.
fans. Take the afternoon off
Treat yourself.
if you can do it at all, if you have the flexibility with the job. And just settle in for the game. Enjoy
Yeah.
it. Embrace it. Have a little flexibility with the Friday night kick and just embrace it. Go ahead, Matty
And
O.
here's a fun little trivia thing that I read earlier today. First weeknight, technically it's a weeknight, Friday, first weeknight home game since 2001, I believe, was the
Oh, home.
9/11, the game that was supposed to play after 9/11 got played like midweek, I think, the next week.
Wow.
And common fans can fact check me on that in the
I
comments
think
on the
that's wrong.
YouTube or
I think that was
somewhere.
on a Saturday. I think that's wrong.
I don't think it was, because it don't think it
think it
was.
was. Evan's looking right now. He's
Oh, yeah,
drawing.
I'm sitting with the media guy right here.
Yeah.
So yeah.
I could have sworn it was because it was, I believe it was Rice, and I think we played it on a Wednesday night.
Give me just a minute here. That was 2001,
Well,
September 20th. That
yeah. What
was
was
a Thursday.
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 Okay. It was a weeknight.
Yep.
Dang it.
Thursday, September 20th, 2001.
What do you think about that, Teach? Huh?
I'll
I think that
you don't
was
have to
wrong,
apologize
Jeffrey.
on the podcast, TJ. I can take it off when we're
We'll
done
edit that
recording.
out. What would I be apologizing for?
That you seemed very skeptical about my fact and you didn't think it was right.
I was wrong. It looks like I
Yeah.
was wrong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, there we go.
Looks like I was wrong. I'm
Hey, I
sorry.
said Wednesday. It wasn't
Yeah.
Wednesday. It was a
Now
Thursday.
you were,
My bad.
Mattio, you were right. Spot on. Good on you.
Well done.
Apologies.
Yeah.
Before we wrap up, there is one thing I did want to say. And this is very, very true because of the CFIC. Illinois tried to burn down their own stadium last year just to avoid playing us. We're winning this game. They're afraid of Nebraska. We're winning this damn game. I just want to make
Yeah.
that clear to everybody.
We have a lot of new listeners now. We'll go back and listen to our second episode ever, which was the 2023 midseason review. But we had a whole expose here, and nobody else had this story. We had the story about Bert Bielema, because people forget Illinois set their stadium on fire the week we were going into playing them on a Friday night. And so what we discovered, or well, we were pretty we were pretty sure, we couldn't prove it in court probably,
Sources.
but
This is
we
from
were pretty
sources.
sure from sources that Bert Bielema was staying up late watching film of the Heinrich Harburg-led offense, and he's got hungry. He's put a couple tombstones in the oven, and he's eating tombstones watching Nebraska film. Forgot the tombstones were in the oven. Set fake Memorial Stadium on fire before the Huskers came in. So we had anyway we spent a long time on this in our second episode ever, but
Yeah, probably too long.
I think we got to the bottom of it. I think we got to the truth on this one
Yeah, we
about
did.
Bert Bielema eating tombstones watching Nebraska film. So anyway,
Touche.
I think they're probably afraid of us and they don't want to come to the real Memorial Stadium. And
No.
I'll say this, guys. I was Matt and Jeff. I was going to text the group of guys, the fantasy football league, and I think I still might. I think everyone's, the line's what, 8.5. Everyone's
Yep.
predicting, between a 3 and a 10-point game from what I've seen. I think it'll be an old-fashioned Big Ten slugfest, but I think by the second half, we're winning by 2 touchdowns or more. That's what I think.
I like it.
I think we had a couple of big plays with our playmakers. I think we have more talent than they do. I think the defense, I think we'll win the line of scrimmage. I think we'll win both lines of scrimmage. I think the defense will hold up. And I think by the time it's all said and done, we're winning by, 14, 17 points, something like
I
that.
like that. I think like
Yeah.
27, 27, 13, 27, 14, something like that
I went
is something I could see.
24-14. We cover 24-14.
Yeah. I think it'll be in that ballpark is
Evan,
my
do you want to do it? Evan, do you
opinion.
want to do a prediction?
Well, they won last year's game 20-7, and that was with an historically futile offense
Yeah. That
that
kept
turned the
turning the
ball
ball over.
over, that turned the ball over a bunch of
To
times
Illinois, yeah.
and did it in Champaign.
In
So,
that game.
like, Nebraska is essentially, I mean, the defense is the same, the offense is upgraded, especially at the quarterback spot. So, yeah, I mean, I think it'll be a 20, something maybe similar to the Colorado game, 28-10. I mean, I think Nebraska's got the talent. It's at Memorial Stadium, the real Memorial Stadium. So yeah,
Yeah,
I think they have more
400
talent.
sellout. They'll be doing all kinds of
Yeah.
stuff. It'll be,
It's
yeah, big
gonna
night.
be a, it's gonna be jacked. And it's Friday. It's just a weird night. It's just gonna be a unique environment. I just have a feeling it's just gonna be a very unique Husker football game that we haven't
Yep.
seen in a while.
Well, and we look forward to Mattio and Evan telling us all about it next week.
Yeah, for sure.
Yes,
We'll do
gladly.
it.
Evan Bland, thanks for joining us for another edition of View from the Bland Stance. Always love talking to you.
Yeah, thanks, Evan.
Matty O, Jeff, you guys got anything else? We good? Are we
I'm
final,
good.
final? Final,
We're
final?
good.
I think
Final,
we're
final.
final.
All right. I'm going to go on the record and say Jeff Langenberg never ran a 7-minute mile. And that's, I'm going to die on that hill.
I ran a 7-minute mile. It's my birthday today. Don't give me any crap, TJ.
Happy birthday to Geoff in Lincoln,
Thank
by the way.
you.
Happy birthday. All right,
Thanks.
the Huskers are 3-0, aiming to get to 4-0 on Friday night. Don't forget, don't miss it. It's Friday night, not Saturday, common fans. All right. I think that's it. As always. GBR. We'll be right back.